Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Monday, August 28th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Zimbabwe President Mnangagwa is declared winner of the August 23 elections.
I'm humbled by the trust and confidence that you, my fellow countrymen and women, have reposed on me to once again serve as president of our great country, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe diaspora in South Africa is disappointed over the election results. Gabonese voters are with the outcome of Saturday's presidential polls. Religious and civil society leaders call for the opening of schools in Cameroon's restive English-speaking regions. Mozambique doctors and their strike with hopes of getting their demands met.
Government have now a deal with the medical doctors, but they don't have a deal with the nurses and other professionals. So it means that the strike is still happening in the public facilities.
And Malawi struggles to repatriate abused girls from Oman. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Zimbabwe's Electoral Commission has declared President Emmerson Mnangagwa the winner of the August 23 general elections. However, the opposition has rejected the results on the grounds that the voting process was flawed. Rutendo Manwere has the story from Harare.
Despite the irregularities that were observed by all of the observer missions in Zimbabwe during last week's vote, President-elect Emmerson Mnangagwa maintains the vote was transparent and credible.
I can assure you that I did not conduct the elections. I competed with them in this race to win the elections, and I'm happy that I've won the race. I think those who feel the race was not run properly should know where to go to complain. I'm so happy that the race was run peacefully, transparently, and fairly, broad daylight.
Speaking to the media Sunday, Mnangagwa says he's happy with the win and will prioritize food security.
The elections have come and gone. I'm humbled by the trust and confidence that you, my fellow countrymen and women, have reposed on me to once again serve as president of our great country, Zimbabwe. There is much more work to be done. Together, as one united people, we shall continue on the growth trajectory witnessed over the last 5 years. No one and no place will be left behind. My new government will be towards the consolidation of our food security in Zimbabwe.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission says the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change was tailing behind the ruling ZANU-PF party and President Mnangagwa. But CCC leader Nelson Chamisa remains optimistic. Chamisa maintains the elections were flawed.
We stand here in the aftermath of a highly, highly contested election, of an election that poll observers from across the world have rightly described as an election that is so damaged in reputation and that is so fraudulent in characterization that falls short beneath the requirements of the Zimbabwean Constitution, the electoral laws, and the guidelines of our regional, continental, and global bodies.
He adds that voting was suppressed in their strongholds, Harare, Bulawayo, and Manicaland, while in rural areas, voters faced intimidation and were forced to vote for ZANU-PF.
The election process in Zimbabwe was shamelessly flawed, violated the constitution of Zimbabwe, as well as the electoral laws of one republic. There was therefore an illegality and criminality in the conduct of ZEC and all the polling officers and officials that were involved.
ZEC declared Mnangagwa winner of the presidential election with 52.6% of the vote, while leader of the opposition CCC is said to have gained 44%. Reporting for VOA Africa, this is Rutendo Mawere in Harare.
Zimbabweans in South Africa have largely expressed the disappointment over the results of the general elections announced by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. Many Zimbabweans who fled to South Africa for greener pastures say that their future looks gloomy. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
Many Zimbabweans working and living in South Africa say the result of the just-ended election in Zimbabwe have left them devastated. Zimbabwe national Gretman Kwebu says the unchanged status quo has dashed their hopes of returning home at a time when their future in South Africa hangs in the balance due to growing anti-foreigner threats and looming termination of their work permits.
This is the saddest day for us as Zimbabweans. Unbelievable that our hopes for a new Zimbabwe became an extension of the worst suffering. Here we are today, thinking of another worst suffering in South Africa. To where will we go after being chased here in South Africa? Truly, I don't know what to do, and then I don't know what we have done to God, because we're living in between problems, left and right.
And Nice and Love says he has completely lost hope in elections.
It's painful for all of us. People who are being harassed at home. So why are you even voting if it's not going to be counted?
Mxolisi Ncube, a Zimbabwe political commentator and journalist who has lived in South Africa for decades, says the result did not surprise him.
The ground that these politicians were playing on was, has not been level. It has never been level, especially where ZANU-PF is involved. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, they favored ZANU-PF. We saw again the voter intimidation that was happening on the voting day. We saw some little bit of violence again directed at the opposition. So it was expected that at the end of the day, these elections were not going to be fair. And it was expected that they were going to favor the incumbent, which is ZANU-PF and Emmerson Mnangagwa.
But some, like Thabani Gumbo, say they are thrilled with the results, claiming that the ruling party has done exceptionally well over the past 5 years under President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
We are so happy about this result. There was no violence. Everything was good. Most people in Zimbabwe are very happy.
While ZANU-PF has officially accepted the outcome of the elections, the main opposition Citizens Coalition for Change has categorically dismissed it, saying it will soon produce proof to show that it won the elections. Reporting for VOA News in Johannesburg, I am Tuso Kumalo.
Gabonese voters are awaiting results from Saturday's presidential and parliamentary elections that were marred by delays, an internet blockage, and nighttime curfew. President Ali Bongo Ondimba, whose family has ruled the country for 56 years, is running for re-election. He is being challenged by joint opposition candidate Albert Ondo Osa. Alexander Panga is the spokesperson for Ondo Osa. She tells me that whether intentional or not, the delay on election day did not stop the Gabonese people from casting their ballots late into the night. Panga says that this time around, the opposition stands a chance of winning because the Gabonese people no longer want Bongo as their leader.
The Gabonese people were ready to vote. Gabonese decided that they're not going to let this opportunity go. So the impact, I don't know if he was prepared or not, but the delay did not stop the people to go to the polling.
What do you think are the chances for the opposition this time around?
The chances of the opposition, they are very good. People are aware that they don't want to have the Bongos anymore at the head of state. So I guess the opposition has all its chances to win this election.
What can you tell us about the internet? Are people able to use the internet during the election period?
The internet was on up to 5 p.m. And since then, we haven't had a chance to get connected. So at the moment, only Brazil and Gabon is out of internet. We managed to get internet from some other way, but right now there's no internet all around Gabon.
Now, President Bongo is going for a third term. This time around, the opposition came together. Do you think that might make an impact?
Yes, it has given a big impact, actually. I think the President Bongo didn't think that the opposition was able to unite and present one candidate. I guess it's a very big surprise, because what we hear right now is that the opposition is winning in all the polling offices. So we are just gathering all the information as soon as possible so that in 1 hour or two, we are sure that we will have the true result of the election in favor of the opposition.
We understand now there's a new law to abolish a second round voting. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
What does the opposition make of that?
The opposition stood up and cried out to the government because it actually was seen as a way of the government to trick the voters, to disperse the voices of the voters. But their surprise was that we chose one candidate and that candidate made the voices united to make sure that we will win the election.
Alexandra, thank you so much. A pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Abati.
Alexandra Panga is the spokesperson for Gabon's joint opposition candidate, Albert Ondo Ossa. She was speaking with us from the Gabonese capital, Libreville. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, August 28th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. An official of the Mozambican Medical Association says doctors and other medical professionals hope the government will provide the necessary means for them to better serve the public. Dr. Enrique Viola, General Secretary of the Association, says those conditions include improved salaries, the restoration of risk subsidies for doctors, medicines, diagnostic equipment, better food for patients, and regular electricity for the hospitals. Last Thursday, the doctors suspended their month-long strike to allow for a productive dialogue with the government. But Dr. Viola tells me that the doctors support the ongoing strike by nurses and other medical professionals.
We have a new deal with the government, but unfortunately, this new deal is impacting only the medical doctors. What happened is that when the medical doctors started the strike on 10 July, other staff, I'm talking about the nurses, the pharmacy, the laboratory technicians, and all of them, they were still working. They were working until last Saturday. And what happened is when we were in around the date, what 1:42 of the strike, the other health professionals, and they started the strike. So the point is that the government have now a deal with the medical doctors, but they don't have a deal with the nurses and other professionals. So it means that the strike is still happening in the public facilities. Of course, the doctors are working, but the Mozambican Medical Association and the doctors around the country are very, very solidary with the other colleagues who are on strike.
Can you describe for us, doctor, the medical conditions in Mozambique?
First, we need better conditions in our public hospitals, particularly in terms of medicines, in terms of diagnosis means, in terms of x-rays, CTs, IRM, MRI. Mozambique has more than 150 districts, hospitals, and all these districts, they lack the basic means to diagnose the pathologies and, of course, to treat that pathologies. And we have problems in terms of medicines. Of course, as I said before, the need of better food for our patients, the need of stability of electricity, because sometimes the electricity company go and cut electricity in hospitals because of a lack of payments. And water also, they cut water because of not payment. So these are our demands in terms of conditions to treat well our patients. Our second demand is mainly concerned to our salaries, because what the government did was to cut many of our subsidies. For example, the risk subsidy, which was in 30% a year ago, now it is in only 5%, not only for the health professionals, but for all the professionals. In general, I can say that our demands are concerned on condition to serve well our patients.
Dr. Enrique Viola is the General Secretary of the Mozambican Medical Association. He was speaking with us from the capital, Maputo. Schools in Cameroon's conflict-ridden English-speaking region are scheduled to open September 4th for the academic year. Rights groups have accused the separatist Republic of Ambazonia of disrupting education by attacking schools. The separatists have accused the Cameroon military of setting up camps near school facilities. Now, religious and civil society leaders in the region are calling for resumption of school. Reverend Dr. Undetema Chalamet is the executive president of the Cameroon Baptist Convention. He tells me that the stakeholders should create an enabling environment for schools to open because education is a human right.
I addressed my message to three categories of people. The one is to the government. And to the government, I said it would be important for the government to be sensitive to some of the realities on the ground and try to make some conciliation between the text and the context. And when I talk about text, I'm referring to all the ministerial decisions and orders. These are the rules and regulations regulating the opening of schools, because there are some contexts in this country that would not and do not at all fit the text. The second category of people had to do with what I prefer to call the valid or legalized opposition. They should work with the government to see that there is an enabling environment for schools to reopen, for our children to get back to school. By an enabling environment, I mean a peaceful atmosphere. It is very disturbing for children to be in the classes or in the classrooms, and then you have folks who are wearing and carrying guns around for security. Let every context make it possible, create an enabling environment for the children to go to school, because the children today are the leaders of tomorrow.
Based on what you've just said, it sounds therefore to mean that you don't think the community or the region is ready for the schools to open.
I am not in a position to give an authoritative statement as to whether or not the region is in a position for school to open, because I have not done any inspection on the ground. But overall, I am simply, from my little office as a religious leader, giving an opinion as to what I think and believe about school reopening, since the date is already by the corner. All the schools that are preparing for reopening, I am tempted to believe that they should be ready for that to happen.
Is it possible, therefore, for that environment to be created before schools open on the 4th?
I want to think that if there is the political will and then the cooperation of all the stakeholders, whether they be what I call the valid opposition or the unrecognized opposition, if there is the will, that enabling environment can happen. And that is what I yearn for. That is what I pray for, so that children should go back to school. Given that education is a human right, that should be enjoyed by everyone who desires to be educated.
Reverend Dr. Undetema Chalamet is the executive president of the Cameroon Baptist Convention. He was speaking with me from Bamenda. The government of Malawi says it is facing challenges to repatriate about 60 women trafficked in Oman who have complained of working under deplorable and slave-like conditions. The women first raised an alarm to Malawi authorities last year through social media posts saying they were facing physical and sexual and emotional abuse from their employers. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Malawi has no diplomatic relations with Oman, and its closest connection with Oman is its embassy in Kuwait. John Kawai is the spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Malawi. He told VOA that the government concluded its fact-finding mission concerning the complaints the trafficked women raised in February, but efforts to send a delegation to Oman to start the repatriation process have been frustrated.
The delegation that was supposed to go to Oman, suddenly they found themselves not being given the visas. So this has been the issue that has now delayed the process of bringing back the women back to Malawi.
However, Kawai said the Malawi government is exploring some ways of bringing the women home. These include working with some non-government organizations based in Oman to help repatriate them.
We have been having some limited success. As we are speaking right now, about 21 Malawian women have come back from Oman. Last week, we probably received about 6 women. Unfortunately, we are receiving reports that there are still some other women who are also leaving Malawi, going to that very same place and finding themselves in exactly the same challenges that the others found themselves in.
Many Malawians have long been recruited by middlemen with the promise of finding better jobs in countries such as Oman, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. However, some have ended in jobs they were never promised and working under unheard conditions. For example, in a Facebook post that went viral last year, a Malawian woman working in Oman alleged that she had suffered abuses such as rape, torture, and poor pay. She compared her situation in Oman to that of slavery. There has been no comment from authorities in Oman on the matter. For VOA Africa, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta.
It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with the 2023 World Athletics Championships, which ended on Sunday in Budapest, the Hungarian capital. Kenya topped the African medal table with a total of 10 medals, 3 gold, 3 silver, and 4 bronze medals to occupy the 5th spot in the overall medals table. Commonwealth Games 800 meters champion Kenya's Mary Mora claimed one of the gold medals for Kenya on the final day to become the new World 800 meters champion. The 23-year-old Morak recaptured the title for Kenya in a new personal best time of 1 minute 56.03 seconds when she stunned defending world champion Athink Mu from United States of America and world silver medalist Keely Hugginson from Great Britain to win.
I'm so happy for the race and I'm happy for the winner. I was like, which medal am I going to get? Because several of us were in a good shape, but I'm happy for the winner and I'm happy for everything.
Another historic moment for Kenya was when Kenya's Faith Kipyegon became the first woman to ever win the 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters double at the World Athletics Championships. Kipyegon's 2 gold medals in Budapest cap a remarkable season in which she broke the 3 world records in the 1,500 meters, the mile, and 5,000 meters.
It was all about gold medal. It was not all about time, but it was a little bit of pushing up and down and just testing each other. But I had to run my race and just focus to that finish line, and I knew I was the fastest over the 200. So I had kept the first before the bell. I had to go in front and just control and just hold with the other ladies not to pass me and block me over the 400.
Away from the World Championships now, Uganda has won a 3rd consecutive title at the 20th edition of the Federation of East African Secondary Schools Sports Association Games. The East Africa Secondary School Games was concluded on Sunday at the Huye International Stadium in Rwanda. Uganda won a total of 37 medals. Of these, 17 were gold, 11 silver, and 9 bronze. Kenya claimed the 2nd spot with 23 medals in total, 8 gold and silver apiece, as well as 7 bronze. Host Rwanda were in 3rd place with 12 medals, 4 silver and 8 bronze medals. Uganda will host the 2024 FIESA Games. In basketball news, Angola withstood the pressure of a boisterous crowd and an elimination game to defeat host Philippines 80-70 points and register their first victory at the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023. Angola knew they would be eliminated from contention for the 2nd round with a loss, but kept their hopes alive with a 1-1 record in Group A. And that's it for this Monday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good Monday. And that is it for this Monday, August 28th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I am James Barton in Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.